Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community.
Good evening, good morning, good night, good second breakfast, whenever you are, wherever you are. My name is Laura Gonzalez, and I'd like to welcome you to Lunatic Mondays, Lunes Lunaticos, the very first bilingual show for CSMP, the Circle Sanctuary Network podcast. And tonight we have a live show. Yes, we are here live. It's not a pre-recorded show. And we have the amazing author, Laura Tempest-Sakharov. She is a professional artist, author, dancer, designer, and modern traditional witch based in New England. She holds a BFA from the Rhode Island School of Design, and her artwork has received awards and honors worldwide. Her work embodies myth and the esoteric through her drawings and paintings, jewelry, talisman, and other designs. Laura is the author of the best-selling books Anatomy of a Witch, Weave the Liminal and Sigil Witchery, as well as the Witch's Cauldrons, and the co-author of The Witch's Altar. Her first oracle deck, The Liminal Spirits Oracle, was released in June of 2020 from Llewellyn Worldwide and has been received much critical acclaim, including a 2021 Silver Cover Award for Best Divination Product. I will ask her if I read that correctly. She helps facilitate social change at the grassroots through WearAradia.org, a movement focused on magical resistance and education. Laura edited the new Aradia, a witch's handbook to magical resistance, Revelor Press, which was released in 2018 and features work from over 2,000 magical practitioners. You can find an extensive collection of sigils for change, many of which were co-created with her sigil witchery worship students on her Pathios blog. Visit her at www.lauratempestsakharov.com. And thank you, goddess. I don't need to be reading anymore because I butchered everything I read. And we have the one and only Laura here on the radio tonight. Hi, Laura. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I am blushing because I know I butcher half of your biography with my accent.
Oh, you did fine. You did great.
But, you know, it is what it is. I recently heard this very poetic phrase that says, an accent is a mother tongue that refuses to let her child go. And that has changed my life. So I'm okay with it. How are you? Welcome to the show. It's so good to have you here.
I'm doing good. We just luckily had a hurricane tropical storm bypass us, so that was good. We were expecting a bigger storm, so we're just glad that it's just rain and wind, so doing pretty good.
Yeah, it's been, you know, with we cannot ignore the elephant in the room. And climate change and all these horrible other things that are some nature made in protest of the man-made disasters. I'm so glad that you are safe, but isn't it something how everything is happening in the world and people still have the audacity to say there is no global warming or that there is no need for a vaccine?
Yeah, it definitely makes you question the a large chunk of the human population. They're like, really? Really? Can you not see? Can you not hear? Can you not see this in front of you? But I guess they like to be the proverbial ostrich in the sand.
And that's exactly it, you know. It's just, I mean, they truly, truly believe these things not to be real, even though they can see them, touch them, smell them. And it's hard to understand how can people believe these things when they are not real, and yet we don't believe the very real things that are in front of us, you know?
Yeah, it's quite the conundrum.
It is indeed. But anyway, we are not here to talk about those conundrums. I am very, very happy that you are safe, that you are okay. I'm not going to lie. I was following your posts, and a lot of people post, like, just making sure that she's okay and that she's going to be on the show and that nothing's going to happen and we're not going to have to do anything, which will be the least of the problems. The main thing is that you are safe and that your kitties are safe. Your super famous cats, how many do you have?
We have four. So they are doing all the Max and Simon, Nora and Gracie, though Gracie didn't care much for the storm. So she was like, I'm just going to hide in a corner until this is done.
Yeah. Did you have any like damage to your property?
No, we just had, you know, little bits of the, you know, trees down, and we had already taken in most of the things that could blow away, and some of the plants are unhappy, but I mean, it's a small thing, and we never lost power here in southern Rhode Island. They definitely got hit much harder, so just feeling very lucky.
Indeed. My family are in Yucatan, Mexico, and they had grays. And they had just moved to the Yucatan Peninsula, my family in Mexico. Those were the longest 7 hours of my life, you know, texting with them and like, we have no power and the wind is going crazy and there's a lot of rain. And I'm like, oh, goddess, please just protect them, you know, everybody. But anyway, let's stop talking about this liminal places and spaces. Let's talk about the I cannot have you on the show and not ask you about the oracle. I know that the last time you were here, we were talking about the oracle as well, but I didn't know you got an award from that oracle. That is fantastic.
Yeah, it's very exciting. So the Cover Awards is the Coalition of Visionary Resources, which is associated with the International New Age Trade Show. It's a big event that happens every year. And yet they have all these different categories to get nominated, and it won for the divination category. So that was, you know, really exciting considering how competitive that all is.
It is fantastic. And for those who don't know, obviously, Laura created this wonderful oracle called Liminal Spirits Oracle, which I bought immediately after it was out in the world, and it's a very beautiful piece of art, but it's also a very beautiful work for working on self. I do this for a living, so I work with the oracles for other people, but the book is designed for you to work on yourself, on your own messages, and so on and so forth. And Laura, is there anything related to art that you don't do?
Yeah, there's probably a whole lot I don't do. I'm just very prolific at the things I do.
Yeah, because you write beautifully. You dance.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You paint and draw, obviously. Do you sing?
No, nobody wants me to sing. That's for my partner Nathan to do. He's a very talented musician. I help write songs and I'll dance to his songs, but I don't sing, much to the relief of most of the population.
That's what I tell people around me too, but they tell me you should sing. You have the voice. I don't know. Anyway, Laura, it is fantastic to have you back. It's been a while since the last time you were here. And for those who don't know, live under a rock, you create this sigil, witchery, magic, and all these amazing symbols. And just give them like kind of like a brief understanding of how you create these symbols that you use to work for social justice. I am your number one fan when it comes down to that and creating this symbology. So I know we're here to talk about the anatomy of a witch, but I want people to also know and remember that you create those sigils, put them on shirts, put them on stickers, and have people wear them. And is la piece of the resistance, you know, in the world that wants to bring us down. So tell us a little bit about how you work this sigil magic.
Sure. So the method that I write about in sigil witchery and that I teach is an intuitive method, which means that regardless of your background, what your artistic ability, what kind of magical tradition you might study, it is an accessible way to craft magical symbols that are very effective. And so most people are familiar with the more ceremonial or Western occultism approach, such as spare, chaos magic. But this is more delving into the movement, the magic of the marks themselves and what we connect with them and actually creating something rather than reducing it. Very much like how we do traditional spellcraft, whether you consider a candle spell or some sort of tincture. You know, when we're putting all the things together, you're doing that with these marks and these symbols and creating a symbol that encompasses all of this. So from there, many of the social justice-oriented sigils I do are co-created in the workshop that I teach, which is mainly because of the last year, of course, the last year and a half has been all virtual online workshops. But it's an opportunity for the students to see how the method is done live and do it with a group of people. And then at the same time, we're doing something that can be used for a wide variety of people, all over, because it's written up in the blog. It's explained what goes into it, suggestions on how to use it. The one that we just did in the last workshop was the refugee safeguard sigil, largely inspired by what's going on right now in Afghanistan. But at any given time in any part of the world, there is some population that is dealing with being, unfortunately being pushed into being refugees, whether that is from tyranny or it's from a natural disaster. So it's about helping to tend to those folks so that they reach a safe place on multiple ways, not just physically, but also emotionally, mentally, and spiritually as well.
Mm-hmm. And, well, you don't have to go too far to find refugees. You know, they're right around on the south border waiting for safe passage and to be accepted on the land of opportunity, you know. So hopefully that I know that those images also cover safe passage for them as well as the Afghanistan mm-hmm. and war, the displacement of people from the world caused by tyranny, by politics, etc., by religious oppression, and by climate change. You know, mm-hmm. like kind of going back to the very beginning of what we were talking about. I try not to be too political, but it's impossible because everything is political, right? For people that live in this world, I guess. Us who embody
yes.
Female bodies, you know, the daughters of Arabia.
mm-hmm.
Is there anything that you
if you're breathing, it's part of the politics.
Right? I was telling somebody not too long ago, you give me a rotten tomato and I can give you an explanation on why this tomato is rotten because of patriarchy, oppression, and politics.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Speaking of which, let's get to the reason that we're here today, your newest book, which is a beautiful piece of art. And I am not buttering Laura's ear with my words. Y'all know I love art, and I am a very enthusiastic patron of the arts, and if I had millions of dollars, it will be all invested on art, seriously. This book, Anatomy of a Witch, A Map to the Magical Body, has a lot of art in it, but not only I want to tease people to go and buy the book so they can see the art that you created for it, but it seems so logical that we as witches have this deep connection to our bodies, and yet there was not a written piece about it. So besides the obvious, what inspired you to write this book, Laura?
Well, a large part of my practice, you know, now going on over well over two decades, you know, what drew me to this is not just the visual arts, but being able to truly embody magic through movement and to be, you know, more deeply present in ritual, and rather than just going through the motions. Because I think many of us come to the spiritual or magical path because we are fed up or dissatisfied with religions that just tell you sit, you know, stand up, sit down, do the motion, do the thing, and you're supposed to feel something through that rather than being present in your body. They also tend to tell you that the divine is not, you know, it's not present in you, it's not present in the world, it's present in some God that's far away rather than right here inside of you. So that was, you know, really a crucial part of, to say, my identity, but just that kind of that nexus of where I knew that I wanted to build my practice upon. And so, you know, it kind of took a while to put it into words. You know, most of the, so far my books have been like We the Liminals about crafting your practice, and sigils are obviously sigil witchery is about creating symbols. The other ones are all different aspects of it, but like this is getting closer and closer to the center of me. And I feel that in the modern witch world, modern magical practitioners, is that we're still kind of doing this battle between trying to be ultra spiritual, you know, kind of in touch with the gods, the spirits, all of these different things, as well as really intellectual, right, very academic. At the same time, we have this disdain for the body, you know, while we're all talking about nature religions, like, well, your body is part of nature. So you can be spiritual and you can be intellectual and be present in your body. So my hope is that this book helps people be more present and more aware and use their body like the most powerful magical tool that it is.
And I think it's especially important for people who are born designated female at birth, we who identify as women, people who are born with a vulva, we are immediately separated as being less than. And even certain religions, I mean, we are not being critical here, we're just being factual. The mostly Abrahamic religions are telling us day in and day out that our bodies are the opposite of secret, you know,
right?
That they are dirty, they are filthy, that we are being punished for having a vulva, et cetera, et cetera. And I know the book is not, let's say, vulva-centric, but the way I see it, it was dedicated to body without gender, but I think it helps a lot of women to connect with that goddess energy and with that sacredness of the body, you know, something that is missing, obviously, in other religions.
Yes, it's definitely written for anybody of any gender or non-gender for that. Because this exploration is body positive and not in a way that's just about being positive about the body, but that I'm positive you have a body if you are reading this book. You've already filled the major criteria for engaging with this book. But yes, we have so much baggage that our society, that religions, even the ones that we tend to think are, you know, more more friendly to being queer, to understanding the diversity of gender, we have so many hang-ups, and that impacts our practice as well as how we see ourselves and each other.
It does indeed. Yes, that is correct. The power of when you were saying, if you have a body, you're reading this book, and now you thought about the joke. I have to make it a joke. Unless you're a ghost and you're reading over my shoulder.
Yeah.
there's a funny,
well done.
There's a funny illustration there somewhere. You are the artist. You know, but yeah, it's a beautiful work of understanding that we are part of nature. Why, even us who are nature-based practitioners, why do you think that we see ourselves so disconnected from nature? Is it arrogance or ignorance?
It's definitely multiple reasons. I mean, first of it's what the society that we're growing up with, and we, you know, tend to look at it and say perhaps it's just the last 2,000 years that have really pushed the separation between, you know, the divine and the body. But even going back into Greek philosophy, there is this idea that, you know, humanity has power over you know, the environment, the world around it. And that moment that we see ourselves as above it or below it, we're no longer present in it. And that's hard to shake, right? It really, you know, if I said, you know, you are a god, people are like, oh, no, I'm not a god. It's like, well, you are an autonomous spirit. You are a sovereign self, and you do influence the world around you, and you contain multitudes, not just in the sense of your personality, but if you look at yourself on a micro, a microcosmic level of, you know, the different cellular structures and the different microorganisms that live on your skin and in your body. Like, you are this whole kind of mass, this body, this planet unto itself. So we just kind of come into this world disconnected because of how society's been set up. But we also, I think, at the same time, because we have a separation from magic, right? We tend to look at magic as fantastical rather than something that's integral to ourselves. And so with that, you know, we just kind of think that magic is present, you know, in the stuff. It's in the crystals, it's in the herbs, it's in the incantation, without realizing, like, what's the center of all this? It's you. Not to say that the world revolves around you, but you are the major point of contact for interacting and creating and weaving these things together. That the power starts, you know, with thought, with you in that moment. So I think we have a hard time recognizing that.
I was just going to say, you just broke my heart because I thought I was the center of the universe. No.
But you are.
But that is the thing. We are. We are the center of our own universe, and we are the ones that are infusing, if you will, all these crystals or all these tools with our intent, with our life spark, life's energy. And it really is a weird contradiction, you know, when we feel that we can do magic to, I don't know, affect the weather in some cases, but we don't see our bodies as sacred, you know. And it is this huge disconnection, even with now with COVID. I'm sorry, I was trying not to talk about COVID, but I can't. Where is this idea of we humans are the virus because we are vile, because we are dirty, because we are not taking care of the planet? And all of that has a little bit of truth, but that doesn't take out the sacredness of humanity and the nature aspect of us humans. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You know.
When we start getting into that, then it's, you know, it gets into that eco-fascist sort of mindset, which doesn't really, it doesn't spark joy. It does not bring forth, you know, anything creative or powerful. You know, it's self-deprecating instead of looking at how do we problem solve. And I think that's an important thing for magical practitioners to realize, is that you can be a problem solver. You can work with the flow of things rather than against it. And that's crucial. And then especially right now in this time of COVID, it's like, well, I think a lot of us are more focused on our bodies in some ways than we ever have been, and realize, like, well, how am I feeling today? And how conscious am I of space? And how close am I to other people? And, you know, it's not exactly the magical level of awareness, but it's definitely a start. And I think it's made people a little bit more considerate of their hygiene, how they're eating, how they're sleeping, all these different things. We're becoming more aware of that. So kind of a mixed blessing.
It is indeed, in how sometimes too we could be dependent of the witches around us and our friends and our cousins and our groups. And now that we were sort of forced into doing our own thing, either online via Zoom or on our own, that gave also a new perspective to appreciation of the body in which we inhabit, don't you think?
Yes, definitely so.
Yeah. The first half an hour has gone by incredibly so. And as you were talking about us being gods and goddesses, I thought about this song that is a beautiful song by Spiral Rhythm. So we're going to take a 4-minute break with everybody. If you need to run and put, I don't know, water your cat or I don't know, something that you need to go do, go do it now. If not, just listen to the song with us, and we'll be back with more here with Laura Tempest-Sakharov, Anatomy of a Witch. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back with more here on Lunatic Mondays.
We are the gods of the pagan folk. We are the gods of the pagan folk. We are the gods of the pagan folk. We are the gods of the pagan folk.
We are the gods of the pagan folk. We bring you love and we bring you hope. And with the love of the maidens there, we give you the magic chest that's so rare.
We are the gods of the pagan folk.
We are the gods of the pagan folk. We bring you love and we bring you hope. And with the love of the maiden fair, we give you the magic that's oh so rare. We are the gods of the pagan folk. We are the gods of the pagan folk. We are the gods of the pagan folk.
We are the gods of the pagan.
You are listening to Lunatic Mondays, building bridges of community around the world. We'll continue with more. Don't go anywhere. And we're back here live on Lunatic Mondays, Lunaticos, the very first bilingual show for CSMP, the Circle Sanctuary Network podcast. My name is Laura Gonzalez, and I'd like to invite you to listen to our second bilingual podcast, which is called Paganos del Mundo, Pagans of the World, Pagaos do Mundo, which is a show that airs every Saturday on both Spanish and Portuguese. We have collaborators from Spain, from Argentina, from Mexico, and from the United States, and Brazil, obviously. Christine Ortiz, Carolina Moore, Monica Gobin, Harwet Tuileva, and Patricia Finclair. Yours truly, once in a while, I also do Paganos del Mundo. And on Tuesdays, two Tuesdays a month, we have Circle Talk with Deborah Rose. Two Thursdays a month, we have Moon Magic with David and Janet Ewen. And on Wednesdays and on Sundays, we have Selena Fox with Nature Spirituality and Nature Mystic, her two shows that air on Wednesdays and on Sundays. And they are over 500, yes, 500 hours of podcasts that you can listen to. We are obviously on the Circle Sanctuary Network podcast on circlesanctuary.org, the website. We are on Blog Talk Radio, Stitcher, Spotify, and many other places where you can get your podcasts from. But without further ado, I'd like to welcome back my dear namesake friend. Hi, Laura Tepesacro. Welcome back to Lunatic Mondays. How are you?
I'm still doing great. Mm-hmm. It's been grooving back over here.
That's a cool song. I like the very end, and it sounds very, I don't know, like Nordic Viking something or another that gave me that feeling. Anyway, back to the book. I cannot not mention, obviously, that you make, in order to speak of the body of the witch, you separate five sections, and then you correlate those sections with tarot cards, which I find fascinating. But why don't I let you talk about that, because you're the author, and I could try to explain with my own words, but I know you're going to do a lot of a better job explaining that for folks who might want to dip their toe on what the book is about.
Sure. Happy to delve into that. So the anatomy of witch, it's metaphorical, right? So I'm not saying that witches have very special anatomy all of their own, but rather it's a metaphorical guide to the body that I've split into these five sections. And it's the witch's heart, the witch's lungs, the serpent, the bones, and the mind, the witch's mind or the weaver. And all of these different sections, they interrelate, but they also correlate to different parts of our practice. So the witch's lungs obviously starts with breath. Everything starts with breath. But it's about interconnectivity. It's about the invisible and the unseen in the world around us, that as we breathe in air, we also have a relationship with the world around us, what we breathe in, as well as the parts of ourselves that we breathe out, not just physically, but also metaphysically and spiritually as well. Also, the witch's lung dealt with sovereignty of self and dealing with physical space, being very conscious of our space. And so there's breathing exercises and such to kind of help the reader get into that a little bit deeper, really be present and feel it in their bodies. And then we move into the witch's heart. So we're looking at the heart itself, but also the circulatory system and blood. And what this represents is ritual. The pulse and the rhythm of our bodies can be also linked up with the rhythm of a year, the seasons, the environment around us. And that ritual is not always these big fancy things with lots of words and lots of stuff, but it's the day-to-day, the little moments, the things that we do as part of our everyday practice that creates that pattern, that rhythm. So how to really see that and in your practice and build upon it and really understand ritual and how to craft it so that it is more effective, as well as to see those more nuanced ways of doing ritual, from your morning cup of coffee or tea to a few moments of meditation perhaps at your altar to your shower at night. And depending on what you do, there's a way to look at it as ritual. And then the next is the serpent, which is the witch's gut, which isn't as sexy, so that's where part of we see it as the serpent. But when we look at our intestines and our whole sort of digestive system, as well as the endocrine system, and as well as the reproductive systems, you can kind of see they're all very much connected and interrelated. And these often are another means of perception. Like, we tend to rely on our five standard senses, right? But there's so much more than that, that we can sense and we know something. We have that expression that you know it, you feel it in your gut. And from a scientific standpoint, there is a connection from our brain, right, to all the way down to the digestive system through the vagus nerve. And so that's a communication system that's happening. So the serpent teaches us about intuition as well as protection, renewal, and creativity. It's an overall sense of really being connected to your most primal animalistic self, and that part of your body that is driving survival, if you will. And then we are framing it with the witch's bones, which goes to structure. What do our bones do? They give our bodies form. They allow us to move. And when we relate this back to our practice, it is the traditions that we create, the ones that we study, the new ones that we bring forth, the ones that we leave in the dust. It is our ancestors, whether it be our blood ancestors or the mighty dead, the larger aspects of humanity. It is also the spirits of place, where we reside, the land that we live upon, all builds and gives us form and structure. So identifying with that and the physicalities of the body. And then last, we deal with the mind or the weaver, which is connecting all of these systems together and giving us a navigation system to kind of sense all of these things. It's the electric spark, if you will. It's our conduit for spirit. Where do we want to go with our path and our practice? What is in the stars for us? So those all combine. And as you mentioned, the tarot, I am a big tarot nerd. and I love looking at the tarot as a guide for life, of stories, of living. It's not to me about just the future. It's what is happening in the present, what's happened in the past. And when we look at the major arcana, and even just the first 10 cards, if you will, right? With the Fool, we are born into this world. We go from being a spiritual essence into an embodied being with spirit. And so that's that first kind of breath into this world. And then I connect the witch's lungs with the magician as we figure out our tools and our place above and below, with the priestess. And the high priestess number two, that gets us into our sense of ritual and the mysteries. The empress at number three with the serpent, creativity and abundance and nurturing, as well as personal power, comes into play there. The emperor, of course, known for foundation and structure, connects to the witch's bones. And next with the hierophant or hierophant, this is the order that we place upon things. And so we kind of build from there. And of course, through the rest of the chapters, we look at the movement cards, the lovers, the chariot, strength, and the hermit cards.
That is so poetic and so beautiful. And for people who are not very familiar with the tarot, it doesn't matter because she explains everything in the book, and then you can get the correlation from one way to another. And as you were saying, you know, the first 10 cards are actually the basis of learning the whole deck of tarot cards and how to utilize them. So, you know, talk about working your magic from every different angle. I love what you said also about the tarot not being necessarily a tool for divination, but a tool for presence and to understand the right here, right now. I have to agree, obviously, as a professional reader, I think that's what the tarot was designed for, but what do I know? I was not the one who designed it. But I truly believe that that is the most practical way to use it, you know? Like, why do we want to, why are so eager to know the future without even having an understanding of the present, you know? And and it also speaks about being present and within your body. So I appreciate very much you doing all this analogies with the cards and talking about being present in our gut, in our tongue, in our mind. I love some parts of the book when you talk about how society pressures us to be this standard of beauty, but then when we wear makeup, we are ostracized, or how we are supposed to acknowledge beauty and present it for the eye of the consumer, but then when we feel beautiful, no matter what stereotype we are now fitting in, then we get criticized and ostracized, you know?
It's that damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Yes, ma'am. It is beautiful. So I also appreciate the number of prompts and rituals and practices that you put here on the book, because it's not just a book to read, but it's a book that you can utilize to integrate on your practice and then do the exercises, do the rituals, do the dance, do the moving, etc. Tell us a little bit about those prompt movements on the book.
Yeah, so I look at this book, it's really, it is a user's manual, if you will, to yourself, to your magical self. And so the things in there aren't really for, you know, there's some books you read, you're like, this is just filler. It's everything is designed to create, to spark inspiration, to allow you to look at some things in maybe a way you haven't before. So whether that is through journaling, some people are very much into journaling, but there's a lot of hands-on or hips-on even exercises, such as, you know, for multiple ones for dealing with breath. There is, I'm going to scare some people, but there is a whole chapter on movement. And that is accessible movement for whatever your body can do. You know, we tend to think about, oh, dance is going to require grace and choreography and such. It's like we all dance in our own ways. Even if you can't even, if you can't move as well as you see the next person next to you, it doesn't matter. It's you present in your body that at the cellular level, your cells are moving and shaking. At the atomic level, you're vibrating. I mean, there's so many different levels to see that your body is dancing star stuff, which I know kind of sounds a bit, but it really is. And I think it's something we can revel in if we can just sort of like, it's a miracle. It's amazing. And I think that's part of our spiritual experience. So I'll give you those exercises to explore and just kind of continue build upon it. There is also a sigil for every part of the system. So every of the five different groups there, there are five different sigils, and then there is a sort of a mega sigil, if you will, that combines it. So you can use those for spellcraft. They can help you delve deeper into any of those systems that you might not feel comfortable with, like such as the serpent is a hard one. It's one of those chapters that seems kind of thin, but actually I've been going over everything with my Patreon subscribers, and most of the other chapters have been like two sessions. We just finished the third session. We're like, there's a lot. There's so much in here because especially our primal selves, we have a hard time relating to it. We feel, you know, like we're so much living in our heads that we just ignore all of these signals and the magic from our bodies. So I present that, and of course you can use the tarot as a tool as well, and then also kind of as a separate but future little perk is that I've also devised an oracle deck that will be coming out next year that's also based on the book but goes even further and deeper through an oracle approach.
So here's where you insert that meme of me saying, take my money. Because, you know, I love your oracular work, and they are so, and I say this obviously is intended as a compliment, they're so easy to use. And what I mean is not that they are simple. What I mean is that they are very user-friendly, because as a person who uses the oracles not only for self but for to provide a service to other people, I'm always looking for oracles that I can read quickly, that I can find the messages. And I love that you, at least in the liminal spaces, Jesus, I always say the name wrong. Liminal spirit. That you give us like different choices of what the messages could be. So I like that a lot. And of course, we will all be waiting for this oracle to complement our work with the anatomy of a witch. Silly question, but it has to be asked. Where can one find this book?
It's a great question. It's a wonderful question. So since it's published through Llewellyn, it's available anywhere and everywhere pretty much. Though, you know, my favorite suggestion for all folks is please check your local independent bookstore, witch shop, metaphysical shop, occult place. And if they carry books, they likely can get it for you if they don't have it on their shelf right now, because that way you're supporting your local community. And if you'd like a signed copy, you can always visit my shop. I'm happy to send out signed copies of my books. And then from there, of course, you can find it on the other usual sites. But if you can do local, if you're able to do that, if it's safe to do that, oh, please, please do that. That really helps craft community, if you will. It's part of the body of the community right there are the shops.
Exactly. And we cannot emphasize more that our communities and local shops and small businesses need us more than ever, especially as we see that looks like things are going to start closing back up, hopefully not, but just in case, you know, like shop local, shop within your own communities if possible. If not, believe me, I know Laura signs your books and sends them to you in a very nice way, very nice packages and all of that, because that's how I got all of my other stuff that I have bought from her. And speaking of other stuff that you do, because you seem to always be doing something. When you're not teaching this, you're teaching that, or you're doing an online this or that or the other. And I know you still teach your sigils courses, right?
Yes. So I've been doing that about once a month. So I've been doing, the summer was kind of light because, well, it was summer and I was trying to get out. I figured everybody else was also trying to get out while you could. But I do about 2 to 3 different workshops a month that are all virtual. So usually Sigil Witchery is one of those. And then one of my other 2 dozen titles, I offer that as well, whether it's based on weave a liminal or anatomy of a witch or movement classes. looking into spirituality and deities or the tarot. So I try to rotate them so it's not the same things every month, but Sigil Witchery just sells out every single month and there's a waiting list, so I always try to make it available at least once a month.
Yes. And you also do YouTube art, right? You create stuff for YouTube?
Mm-hmm.
Are you
doing
that?
I've been doing, there's my channel, which you can get to through my website, or you just search my name on YouTube, I'll come up. There's the Witchful Workout, which there's 150 plus episodes, which are all about moving your body and being able to move your body in magical ways to connect these things together for ritual. And they're meant to be accessible for a wide range of folks, and they're fairly short as well. So there's a lot of concepts that I cover in the book that I have done on YouTube because I understand that sometimes reading something isn't the same, you know, just doesn't quite get it the same way of watching it, especially when it comes to moving. So I've created a bunch of free videos for people to watch, as well as, you know, there's my 6 minutes of witchcraft, which is usually me ranting for more than 6 minutes. about some sort of topic in magical practice, as well as a few other things that that pop up. So I'm not doing it quite as heavy, usually like one or two things a week right now, as I've been working on another book project. But that's something that's always up that people can access for free, which is very important to me.
Yeah, I hear you when you say try to keep it to 6 minutes. I try to keep mine to 10 minutes. I can't. I don't know how you can keep yours. 6 minutes, but you know, that's why I do the show, so I can keep it to almost an hour, so I can, you know, go and be my goofy self here on Lunatic Mondays, which is, after all, anything can happen. That was the slogan from the beginning of this show, and it will always be the slogan. The first couple of shows, we have so many audio issues that somebody suggested, like, maybe change the slogan. Nope. It all accommodated itself. Anywho, Laura, mm-hmm. Is there anything that I haven't asked you that is important for you to say to us tonight about this book or about anything else that I just haven't asked about?
Oh, see, you've got some great questions. A thing I would just to note to folks, part of this book is it's not just meant to be a one-time through quick read. This is definitely something that you want to take your time, kind of work back through, because there is so much material. There's so much concepts. There's a lot of new things that you're not going to find in any other book out there. And so, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, I think I know what this is about. Nope. Take your time. Come back, and it's fine, because this is something that you'll probably be working with for a very long time, getting used to your body. You know, we tend to think, well, I know what my body is. Like, oh, nope, every decade is different. Even every half decade is different. As you get older, as your body changes, there are more mysteries that are revealed, and there's other ways to approach it, as well as how our minds change as we age. So it's a lot of opportunities for exploration. So, you know, it's not a race.
Thank you. Yeah, it's not a race. It's a marathon. You know, don't sprint. Take it. I was even going to say it could become pretty much, I don't know, how do you separate your books on your bookshelf, Laura? I have them by theme. And that drives some people crazy because some are really tall and some are really small, but I have them by theme and not by aesthetically size or color. How do you fix your books and your bookshelf?
I am also a theme person. So I tend to, for the most part, I try to keep my authors together. So like all the Doreen Valiente is hanging out in one little place. And, you know, there's by author, but then there tends to be by different stuff. So like all the Italian witchcraft is together, and all of the ones on trance and all the herbs are together. It's just like that way I know I can go to that section. If I'm looking for herbs, there are all the herb books. So I do not organize my books by aesthetic. I do it by how, like a library. I need to be able to find something. I don't want to be like, oh, what was it? Was it a red back cover? was it the blueback cover? that's not important. But I know, oh, if I go over here, I'm going to find the thing on the read that I need to, or that encyclopedia on the tarot, because it's by a section. So
yeah.
That's my Virgo moon.
And that's what I'm struggling right now with this book, because I'm like, do I keep it on reference, or do I keep it on oracular work, or do I keep it by the ritual stuff? And that's what makes this
one copy for each section.
There you go. That's a good answer. There you go. Because it has so much, and because you talk so much also about the tarot, you know, it's like, okay, let's open a book. A lot of people do this. Open the book in one section and see what the book has to say. And if you happen to catch it on one of the, either on the sigils or on where you're talking about the tarot card, it's like, there you go. You know, it's just so interesting. Laura, I like to thank you so much for being so amazing, so prolific on your work, so talented. Thank you for sharing your talent with us. But also, I would like to make a note. You are a fantastic guest to deal with. You are very so friendly and accessible, and I just love that to pieces. And yeah, that needs to be noted. So thank you for being such an amazing person that treats everybody with love and respect. I really appreciate that about you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for having me back. It is always such a pleasure to talk with you. And I look forward to when we can travel again, come your way, and we can sit down and have a meal and have a good drink. And
right. Have a good time.
That will be amazing.
And, of course, you must know that when the new book comes out, we're going to tickle you and have you come back here on Lunatic Mondays. But until then, I like to say thank you so much to everyone who is listening to the show live, or if you're going to listen to it later, to please go to wherever you buy your books locally to find Anatomy of a Witch, or buy it from Laura directly so you can get her autograph. And to everybody who is here, thank you, thank you, thank you. And Laura, just say goodnight to your audience, and we're good to go.
Yay. Buenos dias, buenas noches. Good night, everybody. Thank you so much.
Thank you, everybody. Never forget that you are love. Bye-bye.
And thank you for joining us on the Circle Sanctuary Network podcasts, presented by Circle Sanctuary and produced for all who follow the Nature Center paths. Join us here throughout the week for various programming connecting the community around the world. And please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSNpodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites, such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.